Amen. 2 Kings chapter number 7. I don't want to read this whole chapter, but I'll be preaching pretty much from this chapter here today. But I want to start from the beginning here, and we'll quit, and we'll get several of these and stop. Then Elisha said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of flour be sold for a shekel, and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." Now, I want you to note the reason why this is so important was because the enemy, the Syrians, had encamped around, and they had cut off the supplies. So we're going to get into this in a moment, but a donkey's head was being sold for lots of money. I mean, there was terrible distress inside the city, and women was even eating their children, and not to depict the bad, but it was just horrible times. Yeah. So I want you to get the picture of this. So the prophet of God stands up, Brother Daniel, says tomorrow about this time. In other words, the inflation is going to be cut to nothing. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have plenty tomorrow about this time. Isn't that just like God?
Yes.
Wow. Then the Lord, amen, then a Lord on whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, "Behold, if the Lord would make windows in heaven." I want you to look at this. Now the king, amen, Joram, he did not even believe the word of the Lord. Let me tell you something. It's a sad day when you don't believe God.
That's right.
Amen. Listen to this. He said, "Even though God would make windows in heaven, might this thing be?" And he said, "Behold, thou shalt see it with thine own eyes, but thou shalt not eat of it thereof." Amen. So God said, tomorrow, amen, it's going to happen, but you ain't going to eat of the plenty. Tomorrow, there's nothing to eat in this city. People are dying of starvation. But tomorrow's going to be plenty, but you won't eat of it because you don't believe.
Come on, yeah.
Woo!
All right.
Verse number 3. And there were 4 leprous men at the entering in of the gate.
Yeah.
And they said one to another, "Why sit we here until we die?" Wow. "And if we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city." Notice they put the lepers outside of the city. They locked them out.
Yeah.
So here are these lepers. I believe the gatekeepers of Samaria, I believe these gatekeepers knew these lepers. They were kept outside in colonies. They weren't allowed in to spread this disease. So these gatekeepers knew these men. So here these men are standing, and the Syrians are coming in, and they've got Samaria besieged. Amen. And so they're wondering, what are we going to do? They said, "We ain't got nothing to eat. They're not being able to feed us anything. We're going to sit out here and die." So they're debating amongst themselves. What are we going to do? Are we going to go back in the city? Are we going to go forward? There's nothing to eat. We're going to starve. If we stay here, we're going to starve.
Yeah.
We can't go back. And if we go forward, we have no promise. Maybe the enemy's going to kill us. Boy, they're in a hard place, ain't
yeah.
they?
Yeah.
Wow. So let's get the rest of it. "Now, therefore, come and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Verse number 5. "And they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there was a man there." Amen. For the Lord, listen to this, God can do anything.
Right.
"For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots and a noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, 'Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and of the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us.'" Verse number 7. "Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight, and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And when the lepers came to the uttermost part of the camp, they went into the one tent, and they did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came again and entered into another tent, and carried thence also, and they went and hid it." I could read the whole chapter, but I'm not. I'm going to preach from it here in just a moment. But if the Lord would help us here, thank you for standing here for the reading of the word of the Lord. If God would help us, I don't have no fancy title, but I'd like to ask us a question. Don't you think it's about time to do something? Amen.
Yeah,
don't you think it's about time
all right.
to do something? Hallelujah. Amen. a lot of people are happy and they are satisfied with just ordinary. A lot of people are happy and satisfied with just status quo. unwilling to step out on faith, unwilling to do anything out of the ordinary. That's just somebody that's happy, amen, with the everyday mundane, just the same old, same old, same old. Hallelujah. I read of a man that interviewed John Glenn. You remember that fella?
Yeah.
Amen. A guy that stepped out of the ordinary and landed on the moon. I know some people don't believe that. I personally do. Amen. I believe he stepped on the moon. Praise God. I believe America sent astronauts into outer space, and I believe they landed on the moon. I know some don't. Amen. But anyway, they interviewed John Glenn, and they was asking him some things. In other words, what in the world made you do this? And he had a desire, and they were trying to do it, and nobody else had ever been able to do this. So he was willing to step out, amen, and do something that had never been done before. Hallelujah. Oh God, help us. Give us some people. Give us some, amen, some Christians in today's time that's willing to get out and do something for God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. Someone is urged to shoot for the moon. So if you miss, you at least hit the street light. Praise God. Amen. Amen. So, somebody, I believe in this house right here today, you're probably strapped. Amen. In that place where you're afraid to get out and step out and do something out of the ordinary. You know, some people live life and they grow old, Brother George, and I'm not making fun. I use this stanza a lot. You look in the mirror, your face is wrinkled, your hair is gray. The years has passed you by and you realize, I never had faith to step out and do anything out of the ordinary. And I'm coming to preach to us right here tonight. Don't be that one. Don't be that person that just stays in that mundane and stays in that same old, same old, same old.
All right.
And let the years roll on by and one day look back over the years of your life and say, I wonder what could have been.
Right.
Woo.
Right.
Woo. Hallelujah. Ah, you might as well help me. I'm going to preach to you in a minute.
Man.
Thank God. Don't live life and look back over the years of your life and say, I wonder what it had have been, amen, if I'd have did something different, praise God.
Right.
That's the situation we find ourselves in the text of my scriptures here today. These leprous men are put out of the city, amen. Ben-Hadad and the enemy had Samaria surrounded, amen, and they had cut off their supplies. They didn't want to fight. It would have been too gruesome of a battle, so they had to city surrounded, amen, and they cut off their supplies, praise God. So inside of the city, Brother George, things were terrible, amen. Oh yes, it was just a horrible time inside the gate. Listen to this, the conditions were deplorable, and I don't mean to offend whatsoever, but listen to this, people were eating filth. I never forgot Brother Donridge preached that message on there's no place like hell. Anybody ever heard that message? My, what a powerful message. But he said he is doing mission work down in Mexico, and he said the locals down there said, we want to take you somewhere that'll change your life. And they took Brother Rich down there to a garbage dump outside of a large city down there in Mexico. I think it might even have been just close to Mexico City, one of the largest places in the world. But anyway, they took him out there, and he said inside of that garbage dump was people living inside of there. Brother Earl, he said they was scurrying through that garbage. They'd find a chicken bone, or they'd find some kind of morsel of meat, and they was eating out of that garbage stuff. Brother Donridge said he looked into that mess, and he thought his heart was broken, his crying, and he thought to himself, he said to himself, I think he might even say it out loud, it can't get any worse than this. And he said, God spoke to him himself and said, any person whatsoever would come out of hell, and they would trade places and live in this garbage stuff. And God spoke to Don Rich and said, this is like a vacation compared to hell. Amen. And Don Rich preached that famous message, there's no place like hell. Amen. And that's the way the deplorable conditions were in this city. I mean, nothing to eat, starving to death, eating filth. Mothers were even eating their own children. Oh, it was a terrible, terrible time. time. Thank God. Amen. The head of a donkey was sold for 80 pieces of silver. Listen to this. Amen. Oh, the civilization had been stripped away because of poverty. Man was providing that he was proving rather that he was nothing without God. Let me tell you something. Amen. America could be the very same way. Amen. If we get God out of this country and we get God out of this society, we can get there, amen, in a very few short days. Oh, I come to tell us we need God every single day. We can't make it without God. You can't live without God. We've got to have God every day, amen. Oh, some things were horrible inside of this city. Amen. At one of the huge gates, amen, there was these four miserable, leprous men, and they had to make a decision. What are we going to do? Amen. What are we going to do? Amen. Oh, yes. Sometimes the very last person that you think is going to do something for God, that's the one that God uses. Nobody thought that these four leprous men was going to be the ticket to salvation from this deplorable condition that they were in. But guess what? God was getting ready to use four leprous men. He quite often uses men and women with very little natural talent just to show the world that God can do anything. Hallelujah. I want you to look, most of the time, some men and women that are used of God, they're very talented people. I understand that. But most of the time, somebody that's used greatly of God, they're not greatly talented. They're just greatly obedient. Amen. Yeah. You'll catch that in a minute. Right. I said they're not greatly talented. They're just obedient to God. And they say, God, here's my life. And I'm willing to do something besides sit here. And these lepers, they were having meeting, Brother George. Amen. I believe they called committee meeting. Amen. And one looked at the other and said, what are we going to do? In our text today, they even said the words, why sit we here until we die? Yeah. Praise God. Amen. Are we just going to sit here? We're starving to death. If we go back into the city, amen, we're going to die there too. They don't have food. They don't have provision. They're eating babies. They're living in filth. It's a deplorable place. What are we going to do? Hey, I come to tell somebody in this house today, it's never the right decision to go back. Amen. I'm about to feel like preaching. I said it's never the right decision to go back. Hallelujah. One looked at the other and said, we can't go back. We got to go forward. Because if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go back, we're going to die. And maybe the third and fourth jumped up. But if we go forward, we might die. The Syrians might kill us. They might stab us with a sword. Maybe that fourth guy jumped up and said, at least we'll die quick. Amen. At least we won't suffer from this dreaded starvation that we're going through. Leprosy all over our bodies. Horrible, amen, place that we're in. So they jumped up and they said, let's go forward. Amen. So you know what they did? They waited till the twilight, the Bible said. They waited till the twilight. Brother Daniel, amen, till it's almost dark. Most of the soldiers would be asleep. They would probably only have to deal with some guards. So they come in there. Amen. And here they were. I believe, Brother Earl, they were just trancing. Amen. Very quietly. And they said, if somebody catches us, they're liable to kill us. I believe they was walking in there. Oh, so easy, Brother Tommy. But you know what happened when they got down to the gate and got down there to where all them soldiers had been encamped around about the Samaria. And when they got down there, great God, they looked and the tent was empty. And they looked in that tent, they looked in that whole camp. There was nowhere to be found. Nobody around. And the Bible said that God had magnified the sound. Why these men, amen, that said, I'm tired of sitting and doing nothing. I'm going to get up and do something. Hallelujah. They weren't talented. They weren't very good to look at. As a matter of fact, their bodies were leprous. Amen. Their skin was being eaten off. But they said, I'm going to do something. And I
come to preach to somebody here today. If you'd get up and do something, I believe God would get with you. I said, I believe God would get on your side and help you. But you got to get up and do something.
Yes, Lord.
I'm on now.
Oh, God.
So, the Bible said that the Syrians thought it was a massive army coming.
Yeah.
I love this. Brother Tommy, that's back our study. This intrigued me. Amen. I understand running, Brother Daniel. Sort of. I've never really ran. I've always been taught not to do that. Stand your ground. Amen. I ain't got much run in me. But I really can't understand, but I sort of understand. They thought a massive army was coming. They said the Hittites, the Egyptians, Israel's, in other words, formed a league against us. And they've got all kinds of soldiers and they're coming for us. Amen. I can sort of understand and running, Brother George, and getting back on a mountain somewhere and looking down. But great God, I looked at this. Amen. And after these lepers went down there and they ate a while and their tummies were full and they got, Bob said, they got silver and they got gold out of them tents. They thought about living life on a high, but they said, we better go back and tell somebody that there's plenty outside the gate.
All right.
Hallelujah. Woo! So they go down to the gate. I'm going to get in this. So they go down there. And they tell the gatekeepers who had watched them out in the colony day after day.
Come on.
And they said, you'll never believe it, but we got enough down here to feed everybody in the city. We got enough down here to feed everybody in town. They didn't believe them old lepers. Amen. News spread. Finally got up to old Joram. Amen. The king. And they said, we don't believe it. I don't think he didn't necessarily believe the lepers so much as he didn't believe God, because if he'd have believed God, the prophet just said the day before, tomorrow there's going to be plenty. Tomorrow, amen, the city's going to be fed. About this time tomorrow, you're going to see my hand move. Hey, God, hey, I come to tell us, you better learn to believe God. You better learn to trust the word of God. Let me tell you, heavens and earth, they might pass away, but God's word is eternal. You can stake your life on the word of God. You can believe in God's word.
Amen.
So the king should have believed, but he didn't, Brother Tommy.
Yeah.
So he said, I thought this was ironic. So he said, let's get some horses together. If I read that right, I have to look at it again later. I said, hurry, I just caught this back here. If I read that right, they only found 5 horses in town.
Come on,
I guess all the rest of them were dead.
Come on.
I guess all the rest of the horses had starved. They didn't have no water. Samaria was up on a mountain. They didn't have no, I mean, it's bad. Great God. And that book, I don't know if any of you ever read that book, $1 million for a drop. Talk about over on the banks of Normandy. Amen. And we're in that world war. And them soldiers laid over there. And them Germans had them pinned in that sand. And that sun was beating down on them guys. They hadn't had water in days. Amen. They said them soldiers' tongues, Brother Daniel, swelled up and even protruded out of their mouths without water. And that guy wrote that book, $1 million for just one drop. Oh, that's the way these men, amen. No water. You don't know what it's like. I've seen famines. I've seen droughts where the grass dies, the gardens die. But oh, it was terrible. It has to get bad to eat your babies. It has to get bad, amen, to eat your own family. Great God, that's where they were. It was terrible. They were dying. They were starving. They didn't have no horses. They didn't have nothing. And the old king said, get some horses and go out and see. He said, I'll tell you what I believe they're doing. He said, I believe they just retreated into the woods. And they're going to wait till we come out. And they're going to destroy us. And they're going to kill every one of us. And if I read this right, they kept probably three back. That's where we are. Amen. And if I read that right, they only got two horses. And they went out. And them soldiers went out. Amen. And they started riding through them camps, Sister Donnie. Amen. And you know what? The Bible said he went to Jordan. And I read two or three commentators said the Jordan River was 25 miles away. God, not only does God, amen, will retreat your enemy, he'll get rid of them.
Yeah.
They couldn't find the enemy, Brother Earl, for 25 miles. They weren't just in the wood lines waiting to kill them, but they left clear out of town. They crossed the Jordan River and they got out of there. Amen. Hey, I come to tell us, and news went back to the king, and they come out and spoiled the camp, and they got food, and they got silver, and they got gold. And now let's get on down to verse number 16. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of fine flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. That's what God said the day before. Amen. And they said if the windows of heaven were opened up, this thing couldn't be. Guess what? God can open up the windows. Hey, I'm about to feel like shouting. I said God can open up the windows. And if he opens them up, tomorrow is a different day. I said if he opens them up, tomorrow is a brand new day. So my question in my closing remarks, amen, it's time to do something other than just sit there.
Come on.
Why sit we here until we die? Let's get up. Let's march on. Let's do something. Hey, I come to tell us, get up and do something for God.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
Wow.
Jesus.
God can't do nothing.
Come on.
It's deplorable conditions. God spoke when there was nothing.
Yeah.
And said tomorrow there's going to be plenty.
Yeah. All right.
Isn't that just like God?
Lord.
Hallelujah.
You stand there and say, it's nothing.
Come on.
Yeah.
You ain't serving the same God I'm serving.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Glory be to God. Is anybody serving this God that I'm serving? Amen. The God that can make a way through the middle of the Red Sea.
Come on.
The God that can feed 5,000 with a couple loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Amen. Woo! I'm talking about a God that can do anything. Amen. Joram, you should have believed. Amen. Do anybody remember who Joram was? Amen. Joram was the son of Ahab and Jezebel. He didn't have good inheritance, but he still should have believed God. He didn't have good ancestry, but he still should have believed God. Hey, God, I come to tell us, if you get up and do something, tomorrow could be different. You don't have to stay in that colony. You don't have to stay there and die. You don't have to go back where there is nothing. Go forward and do something.
Right. Yes, Lord.
Yes. Stay with me this house.
Thank you, Lord.
Aren't you glad he can do anything?
Yes, oh, God.
Oh, God. Yes, got the Holy Ghost here.
Jesus.
Study and prepare for this now.
Hallelujah.
Fill him out now.
Oh, God.
Hey, you can do nothing to die.
True.
Or you can take a risk. Move forward.
Amen.
That's right.
It wasn't a guaranteed thing, Brother Tommy, but this was what I call a calculated risk.
Yeah.
If they stayed there, they was going to die.
They knew it.
If they went back, they were going to die.
Yeah.
If they went forward, there was a chance of death. But they might they said to themselves, if we move forward, maybe they'll be sorry for them. Feel sorry for us. Right. Give us a little bit of food. They might feel sorry. Look at us. Yeah. Holes in their skin.
Yeah.
Maybe missing fingers and toes, like leprosy would eat off fingers and toes. And they was just horrible looking. And they said, maybe if we move forward, they'll feel sorry for us and give us something to eat. So they moved forward and took a risk.
Yes. Holy God.
I felt this while I was back there studying and meditating and praying, trying to seek the Lord. I feel like telling somebody here today, sometimes serving God, you got to take a risk.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
Calculate the risk. I'm not talking about leaping out, jumping into the dark. But I'm talking about stepping out on faith and saying, God, can you do it?
Yeah.
Woo.
Yes, Lord.
Can you? Are you going to stay there and die? Are you going to stay there? Why sit we here until we die? Are you going to stay right there until you die, or are you going to move forward?
Come on.
Stay here with me, Lord. Here we come to this important time in this service again. It's all our service. We can come meet you, God, and change our lives. I feel like you give me this message, Lord, to preach to somebody here today because somebody needs to move forward. Somebody needs to get away from the past and move forward. If they stay right there where they are, they're going to die. If they go back, they're going to die. Somebody's going to have to take a risk and say, God, I'm jumping in full force. I'm getting in this thing, God, with everything I got, and I'm moving forward. Would you touch that heart in this vital part of this service? Lead us, God, these orders here in a minute. We'll pray for you. Thanks and praise. How about it? You can't stay there. You can't even go back. Somebody's got to make a decision today to say, I'm going to move forward. I'm going forward. I preach to you and give you my heart. I know it wasn't great. That's all I had on my heart here today. Who is that one? Or maybe two? Maybe more, I don't know. If you want to make a commitment, say, God, I'm going to move forward. I'm going to move forward. Right, here's an altar. Here's an altar. And I feel like somebody needs to move forward in this service today. I'm just a mouthpiece. I'm nothing. I'm just standing between you and God. Now it's time for you to get between you and God. I'm out of the way now. I'm out of the way. Is anybody hungry and say, God, I want more of you. I'm going to move forward in my experience with you.
Oh, God.
Come on, church. Come on. Come on. Let's get these altars. Let's pray. But if I was you, I wouldn't leave here today without saying, Lord, I'm going to move forward.
Thank you for your blessed word.
I'm gonna
amen right here today. Brother George, you heard me.